Would you please turn your Bible with me to Ezekiel chapter 38? The national attention has been diverted from the Ukraine, Crimea, and Russia to unfortunate and tragic shooting in the Fort Hood. In the meanwhile, back in Ukraine area, Russia has been moving their force, attack force, quietly last few days without many people around the world know about it. By Wednesday, the situation happened. By the way, this gear they are wearing is very much like our soldiers. They pretty much carbon copied everything, especially like this one they're wearing, the tech vest, and this is the Mali system, exact same as our soldiers. It took a long time for us to develop, and they just copied ours. The Russian President Vladimir Putin knows that how far he can push international chess game. See, this is what I learned. NATO top military commander said this: Russia has all the forces it needs on the border to invade Ukraine within the next 3 to 5 days. The Supreme Allied Commander in Europe and the American Air Force General, that is a 4-star general, Philip Breedlove, described the situation at the border as incredibly concerning. The Russian force has aircraft and helicopter support, as well as field hospitals and electronic warfare capabilities. The entire suite that would be required to successfully have an invasion into Ukraine should be a decision to be made, General Breedlove said. This is my speculation, not a prophecy, so don't start to gather up the stone to throw at me. I'm glad that Jack Levitt is leaving, because he will tell you to do that. I wouldn't be one bit surprised if Russia, Vladimir Putin, will give a go to his military and they will invade the Ukraine. And they will say, so what? It used to be our Soviet Union territory. What are you going to do? Putin flexed the military muscle. And guess what happened? America and Western Europe could not say one word. They could not match with the military muscle. And if Russia invaded Ukraine, what is the White House going to say? Do you think they will mobilize the European force and go against the Russian military? They will not lose a sleep over Ukraine. There's no interest in it. Western Europe and America don't have an interest in Ukraine. So they will just let them have it. In other words, Putin knows exactly what the other side would do. So Vladimir Putin, is he the biblical leader, God? Only time will tell. We don't know. But here's the 5 factors I want you to pay attention. Putin is emboldened. Since the fall of Berlin Wall and the Cold War, Russia and other countries against the world democracy have been kept in check by United States. Agree or not agree? Agree? Are you with me so far? Let me repeat this statement. Russia and other countries that threaten the world democracy has been checked by the United States. Agreed? So far, but it's an old story. Putin knows that he no longer feels in check. In fact, he's playing his own game of chess and doing his best to put United States in check. He knows how far he can push. And he knows America will do nothing. Here's an example. At the end of February 2014, Russia signed an arms agreement with Egypt and Israel's, that's Israel's southernmost neighbor. Israel used to get the weapon supplies from the United States. Now they are getting supplies from Soviet Union. If you remember last year, Obama allowed Egypt to purchase 20 F-16 advanced F-16 jet fighters at $213 million. Now they have that F-16 on their ground. They can fly as they want. They have our kinds of our fighter models, but they are turning against us. You feel good now so far, right? Third factor, the world watches as President Obama backpedaled from his red line in Syria over the use of chemical weapons. Again, Putin knows Obama does not have a gut to tell other countries to stand down. Am I telling you the truth so far? The world watched as a United States ambassador and his team was slaughtered in Libya. To this day, United States government has done absolutely nothing in response to that incident. Fifth factor, the world has watched the United States has been fixated on the domestic issue, such as economy, bad economy, same-sex marriage, immigration, climate change regulations, and minimum wage, etc. In turn, they turn their blind eyes on the international issue. Whether Putin is a Gog or Magog or not, the Lord has something very special for them. They do not know what's coming ahead. Let's stop here and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word we are receiving now. All these things will happen according to your will. They may think that they are the one who is ruling the world, but they do not know anything about you. Father, we were one of them. Father, we are asking you to open our heart to receive your will and your ways and your wisdom, that we may continuously glorify your name with what we do and with what we say. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 18 of chapter 38, please. Chapter 38, Ezekiel, verse 18. And it will come to pass at the same time when Gog, that is the king of Magog, comes against the land of Israel, say to the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. Verse 20, so that the fish of the sea and the bird of the heavens and the beast of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep place shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with the pestilence and bloodshed, and I will rain down on him and on his troops, on the many people who are with him, flooding rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. then they shall know that I am the Lord. I want you to kind of mark the verse 23. It's important. We're going to come back. It doesn't matter what kinds of what decision will be made in the war room of Magog and his cohort, but only will confirm the will of the Lord who planned this invasion before the creation of the universe for his own purpose. Keep your finger in Ezekiel and turn to the left and go to Book of Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. Verse 33, please. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from whom? Exactly. Since we are in the book of Proverbs, go to verse 21, please. Proverbs 21, verse 1. I like this. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of the water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Amen? I'm sure in the minds of Gog, the king of Magog, and the coalition force leaders, the victory is pretty much in the bag. Come on, think about it. This coalition force, Russia, Syria, then Iran, Sudan, and then the Libya, Turkey, all these countries coming after one little country. It's like a 300 defense and against a brand new baby. No, not even brand new baby. Maybe little cricket. What kinds of fight do you expect? Not only that, so they were thinking that since they're coming with such a big force, they knew they're going to win. They thought, at least. And you may say, what about the deal that Israel made with the Antichrist of the European Union? 7-year covenant. What about that one? Okay, you remember that one from the last study. However, do you think Antichrist will go against Russia and this coalition force? He would not. He just made the deal with the Israel to keep the entire Middle East quiet. But before the Gog's coalition force will start to destroy Israel, the Lord will intervene in his jealous wrath and the faithfulness to protect his own people, Israel, and wipe out the invading force with the divine arsenal that no human military can fight against. Chile recently had the earthquake that 8.0, and yesterday they had a 7.8. That would be nothing to compare with what these people would have. They had an earthquake and plague, we just read it as a pestilence, and flood, rain, great hailstone, and we know that as a hellfire and brimstone. What is a brimstone? Can you tell me? Kinda sulfur. Like, it's a burning sulfur.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like something that comes out of a volcano.
Yeah. It's one of those things that continues to burn until there's no oxygen to burn. And if that's not bad enough, God put the panic motion in the soldiers' heart. So they were killing each other. Whoever didn't get killed by the God's arsenal, now they are killing each other. And there will be so many dead bodies, it will take 7 months to clear all the dead bodies from this Israel area. 7 months. Burial detail. We're going to talk more about that. Go down to verse 6 of chapter 39, please. Verse 6, chapter 39. And I will send a fire on Magog and on those who live in the security in the coastland. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. Pay attention to the verse 7 we just read. I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nation shall know that I am, nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Surely it's coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. And then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both shield and bucklers and bows and arrows, javelins and spears, and they will make fires with them for 7 years. And they will not take a wood from the field, nor cut down any from the forest, because they will make fires with weapons, and they will plunder those who plunder them, and pillage those who pillage them, says the Lord God. Instead of slaughtering Jews, God's soldiers will themselves be slaughtered and become the food for the vultures and in the air and the wild beast of the in the forest. And the Lord won't stop there with his judgment. He will continue. As a matter of fact, he sent the fiery judgment to all the way to the what we just read to this place, Russia, and Israel, and from those who invade Israel. So Magog itself will be destroyed. Can you imagine the world without Russia? That was a nice start, don't you think? But that's not the end. I find the two reasons for the Lord bringing God's coalition force to Israel and defeating them so dramatically. He could defeat them in their own homeland, but he chose to bring them to Israel. Number one, the victory will reveal the greatness of the Lord as he displays his power before all nations. There's one nation around the world to get more exposure than any other country. What is that? Israel. Everybody hates Israel, especially media hates Israel. So they were hoping that, I'm sure they had all their cameras, CNN and Fox or ABC, NBC, CBS, all had a camera ready to see the Israeli get demolished. But in their maze, they are the one who get demolished. Go back to chapter 38, verse 23, please. Chapter 38, verse 23. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Think about it, guys. If the Israel fought against them and won, they will say, okay, Israel, in their ingenuity and their arsenal, they won this battle. But everything was done in the natural thing. Earthquake, pestilence, hailstone, and brimstone and a fire coming down from heaven. None of the people, Israel didn't get to have fire at one shot. And confusion in their mind, in the mind of soldiers, they killing one another. Second reason. The victory will reveal the holiness of the Lord to Israel and be convicted of her own sins. As we studied in chapter 36 a couple weeks ago, Jews profaned the name of the Lord while they were dispersed all over the world before. Remember, for the almost 2,000 years, no, about 1,900 some years, they were dispersed all over the world. They didn't have a place to go back until 1948. Now they have their own country. Though the Lord has gathered them back into their own land, they are still, majority of them are not the followers of Christ. Remember I said that there were many of majority of the Jewish people in Israel are secular people. However, they will start to realize that the Lord is real. He is the Holy One of God, Holy One of Israel, and He is their protector. If you are a prophecy buff, and by now some of you are thinking about Revelation chapter 20. And you're thinking, okay, preacher, time out. We have a problem here. You just said that God destroyed Gog and Magog here. But then how do you come out, explain away the Gog and Magog in chapter 20? I'm glad you asked. So go there, please. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years that was have expired, that if you want to write down, write millennium, that 1,000 years millennium after the 7-year tribulation, Satan will be released from his prison, that is a pit, and will go out and deceive nations which are in four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, note that, and to gather them together to battle, whose numbers is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surround the camp of saints and the beloved city. What would that be? Jerusalem, exactly. Jerusalem that came down from heaven. And the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. All right, how am I going to explain? Is this the same Gog and Magog? No, they are not same Gog and Magog. In the book of Revelation, names of the symbolic of the final enemies of Christ, duped by the Satan into the attacking the community of the saint, the camp of saints. The change in meaning has occurred historically through the frequent use in rabbinic circles of expression. In other words, Gog and Magog is to symbolically refer to the nation spoken in Psalm 2, who are the rebellion against God and His Messiah according to Talmud references. So, Revelation chapter 20, Gog and Magog is not the same Russia and the leader of the Russia and the coalition force, but it is simply revolting nations around the world one last time. If you follow this, Gog and Magog is the same as the one in the Ezekiel 38 and 39. It is no wonder people will think that there are a group of people who are called the preterists. And in their mind, Ezekiel 38 and 39 already happening and the tribulation is already happened. Boy, your ideas, your eschatology is really, really fouled up then. Do you know who is a big follower of that concept? To your surprise, Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible answer man. Some of you know him. He's into preterism. It's like a Hanegraaff, get a grip. Hank Hanegraaff used to be really close with the Calvary Chapel until pride kind of seeped into him. And he started to come up with this preterism on the air, on the radio show. And that's when the Pastor Chuck said, okay, you're done with us. Go down to verse 11 of chapter 39 in Ezekiel, please. It will come to pass in that day that I will give Gog, this is the actual Gog, okay? Back to the Russia's leader. A burial place in Israel. He came all the way down to Israel to get killed by God. The valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will obstruct travelers, because there they will bury Gog and all his multitude. Therefore they will call it Valley of Hamon Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them. Can you imagine how many dead bodies to bury for 7 months? In order to cleanse the land, indeed all the people of the land will be burying. In other words, every single people in Israel burying their enemies. Yeah. And they will gain the renown for it on the day I am glorified, says the Lord God. Verse 14. They will set apart men regularly employed with the help of a search party to pass through the land and bury those bodies remaining on the ground in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months, they will make a search. And the search party will pass through the land, and when anyone sees a man's bone, he shall set up the marker by it until the burial have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. And the name of the city will also be Hamona. Thus they shall cleanse the land. How ironic. Gog and Magog, and Gog is a coalition force, came to destroy and bury the Israeli people and take their spoils. But they'll be the one that will be buried in Israel, and their spoils will be taken away by Israelis. Did you notice? They will burn this attacker's stuff for 7 years. If it's just a regular wooden shield, wooden javelins, wooden spears, they will not burn for 7 years. The wooden piece will be gone like that. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the with the fuel they brought it down. They brought enough fuel from all different countries. Israeli didn't have to do anything other than just using their supplies. Now, magnitude of the Gog's army created a staggering problem with their earth. Okay, it goes all the way down here. This is Israel. Here's the Sea of Galilee. Here's the Dead Sea. Here's the borderline between Israel and Jordan. And here's Syria. Here's Lebanon. Can you see the lines? This dotted line? There's a borderline. There's two camps, well, three camps of the Bible scholars who always love to argue. They said one group will say, well, it actually happened in the Megiddo area. Those who believe that this battle of Ezekiel 38-39 wasn't the same as the battle of Armageddon. Problem with that is there is way too populated, and they cannot bury that many people around this area. Second concept, they said, well, it was the sea, east of the sea. Remember we just read? East of the sea. And they buried a bunch of people there. East of the sea, there's a vacant land. It's a literally wilderness. There's not a whole lot of people other than gift shops. Because, what's that place? Petra is nearby here, so they have a lot of gift shops. Wilderness. They will say, well, they buried a bunch of people here. It sounds logical. Wilderness, just bulldoze the hold and dropped in a couple thousand bodies. Why not? Problem with that? It's a Jordan area. Am I making sense? Do you think if you are a Jordan political leader, would you like to say, okay, come on in, bring your dead bodies, bury in our land, no problem? Would you like to do that? Or if that's the right, I'm not going to say they are the one who is right. But if that's the case, then something have to happen. This Jordan area have to be taken over by Israel. That's another prophecy have to be fulfilled. But the problem with that prophecy, there's no other actual written prophecy in the Bible for that portion. Now, this is where I think possibility. See, here is the Sea of Galilee. If you notice, there's a little bit of land. This is a river known as the Yarmouk River. This is the valley area, goes kind of from the west to the east. It's a well-traveled road here. See the red line? That's the road. This is the valley area, and there might be a bunch of people here. and blocking the traffic, as we just read, obstructing the travelers. Three concepts. None of them can be backed up with this, and it cannot be substantiated with enough data, because there is not enough word in the Bible to nail down which one. Just my logical calculation, this would be the best place. Does it matter? No. Only valley fit mostly in the Edgerstone Valley, lower the gallery part, and no one might see the Edron, yeah, whatever that thing, I cannot pronounce it now all of a sudden. Valley is the essential east-west valley that was well-traveled throughout the history, would fit it well. None of these theories of the identification of this valley can be substantiated without a question of because sparse data. The text does not make it clear, the massive burial of Gog and his coalition force in the valley could cause major obstacles to travel. For this reason, valley would be named Valley of Hamon Gog, which means Valley of Horde of Gog. After 7 months, Israeli will hire a group of people, two search parties, one search party and one burial party. One group will go out to do the mocking whenever they find the bones, and then the second party will come along and dig up get the bone and relocate to the Valley of Hamon Gog. The nation will remember this day for the God's faithfulness to Israel. Two applications. I know you're going to think that this is a kind of lame applications, but you have to think about this. We don't need to fear anything or anyone, because we are his children and he will not be defeated. Think about it. Why do we have a fear? Because we think that God cannot handle the problem we have. Isn't that true? What if? Whenever you have that what if, that two words, come up with another two words to fight back. But God. Okay? If the devil says, what if? And you tell him, but God. Second application. We do need to remember all the time that God is faithful. Amen?